The Doomer Bloomer podcast is a community for the resurrection of good ideas. We profile the hero's journey in weekly episodes and teach people about the 10 pillars framework for success in life, business, and relationships. Our mission is to find and help all Doomer Bloomers with mental health issues, poverty mindset, lack of resources, and those left behind in this world. Tune in weekly with Will S. and occasionally John Wynn as we have deep conversations with guests about the hero's journey, clown world order, and the resurrection of good ideas. To help support our community, go to www.thedoomerbloomerpodcast.com/support to become a member today. And remember, we are the cure for COVID-19.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Messier, guest host of the Doomer Bloomer podcast. This episode, Marilyn Lydia Pinto of Kids Finance Initiative. The website is kidsfinanceinitiative.com. Marilyn, how are you today?
I'm great, Mike, and thank you so much for having me on.
You are in the United Arab Emirates. I have
That's
such
right.
a hard time pronouncing that. I appreciate you tutoring me. And as I was saying off the air, it's because in America we have such a strong vowel thing. We like to say our vowels very obnoxiously compared to others that say them subtly. So I appreciate the modern technology of Zencaster has us together. Will Summers. Podcast, the Doomer Bloomer podcast. And for those that are wondering, well, what's Kids Finance Initiative all about? I would summarize it that this is the program we all wish we had when we were kids, because financially we'd all be doing so much better. I can say almost universally, maybe 99% of us that are listening, including myself, if we had a Marilyn Lydia Pinto in our lives as children or teenagers, we would be doing better financially. So Marilyn, tell me about yourself. You're a mom, and just so much to say here. So I'll let you start the ball rolling. How did Kids Finance Initiative start to be? And as you're speaking, people can check out kidsfinanceinitiative.com on another window on their computer or whatever device they're using. But tell us about yourself and how you decided to start Kids Finance Initiative.
Well, I didn't initially set out to start a company or start a business. I just wanted to get my kids to learn about money. They were 8 and 10 at the time, and I realized that even though they were academically quite smart, they were really clueless when it came to money, really clueless. And I assumed that they would be learning this in school, but then a little digging, you know, sort of set me right. And I know that this isn't something that's taught under any school curriculum. There was a gap in the market, and I thought, okay, how difficult can it be? I got the curriculum and I said, I'll teach them myself. Well, that didn't end very well because I realized a little late that kids don't learn from their parents. It's white noise when we speak, but they do learn when you send them for a program, or as long as not their mom or their dad teaching them, it's so much more effective. And I know that all parents listening are going to identify very strongly with that. So that's when I started the Kids Finance Initiative. You can say it's a labor of love, not just for my kids, but for any kid who would like to learn differently. Because what we teach the kids in this program is we teach them how to be smarter about money. We teach them how not to repeat the same mistakes the previous generations did. We teach them how to think about money in a different way. And I think what makes us special is not just what we teach, but also how we teach it, which if any of you have kids, you know how important that is.
So many things come to mind right away. For instance, the basic concept of compound interest. You can talk to people better than I can, but compound interest, if you've got money that's getting compounded quarterly as opposed to yearly, you're going to make so much more money. And that simple concept I wish I knew that when I was 8 or 10 or 12. A simple concept like compound interest that I think a lot of adults don't get it. Like, can you talk on that for a moment?
Sure. And when the kids come, you know, I'm talking kids right from 9 to 22 years old, because that's the age group that we cater to. But when I talk about compound interest, they all go like, oh yeah, we learned this in school. Every one of them says, yeah, we learned this in school, but not one of them can actually explain what it means. And nobody can explain what is the relevance of their day-to-day lives. They know the concept, but they know it as a concept in a math textbook. They don't know how it relates to everyday life. And that's what we do for them. We break it down. We make it relevant for them. We tell them how you can see compound interest in almost every aspect of your life. And, you know, the smart ones are earning compound interest, and the not so smart ones are paying compound interest. And when they understand that, and when they see the relevance and how it, they can actually see it in everyday life, it opens. It's like, you know, it's like the scales fall off their eyes. It's amazing to see their understanding and to suddenly see, oh, that's what compound interest actually means, and this is how it relates to my how it relates to my life. So everything that we teach the teenagers, we make sure that it is relevant and very relatable to them. And I think that's one of the big issues that the kids have with the education system. I mean, if you ask any of the kids, do they enjoy their learning experience? They don't. They usually are either confused or bored or frustrated because they don't see the relevance of what they're learning, aside from having to pass an exam. And we tell them that everything that we teach them, we first tell them why they need to learn it. Why is very important with us. It's like Simon Sinek says, start with why. Because if the kids understand how important something is, they're smart enough to figure the rest out, right? It's just our job to tell them why it's so important. And then show them how it relates to their everyday life. So this is a little bit of the framework on which the teaching is based.
I'm watching the videos on the website kidsfinanceinitiative.com, and mm-hmm. for all the young people out there, you know, 21, 22 years old, we know that you're not a kid at that point, but a young person still in the big picture. If you live to be 100, when you're 22, you're still a kid, right? So I was amazed, Marilyn, not by the differences, but by the similarities in watching the kids in your videos to American kids here, and even to me and my classmates when I was a kid. You know, like, kids are kids, the cultural backgrounds and so forth, but I'm watching your videos and I'm thinking any of these kids would be someone that could live right here where I'm at in Jacksonville, Florida. So people sometimes get hung up on cultural differences, but I'm telling you, people are more similar than they are different, right?
That's a very good point you brought up, Mike, because a lot of people ask me, oh, but you know, do you tailor your programs for different cultures or for different countries? And And that's exactly what I tell them. You know, I speak to parents from all over the world, and all of us have the same problems, the same concerns. And what we need to teach our kids about money is not very different, really. You know, you might use different currencies, but kids are smart enough to figure that out, right? What they need to learn is a little more strategic, the basic principles do not change. They're not culturally specific. And I think that's a really good point you brought up, and that's very true.
One thing I was watching, you have a wonderful 5-minute, and I think it's about 37 seconds, video on kidsfinanceinitiative.com. Once again, after people listen to our interview, I encourage them to go to kidsfinanceinitiative.com and go to the about page and look up our story and all these wonderful videos that are on there. And they're not terribly long videos, folks. So, you're going to see some good stuff. But when I think about what you're doing, you said in the video that the education system is broken and it can't be fixed because it's so old. And I was like, wow, that's pretty powerful. So what you've got to do is you've got to provide another resource for people. Can you tell me about more on that, like why the education system is broken? And can you explore more on that topic?
Actually,
please?
maybe I'd like to go one step further. It's not broken. You know, it's doing very well what it was supposed to do 180 years ago, It was supposed to get people to fit into certain boxes, do the same thing, sort of really not stand out at all. But that's obsolete now. Whatever the way we teach our kids is completely obsolete. The way they're learning is obsolete. Mostly even what they're learning is obsolete. More than half of, by the time they graduate, most of what they learn is going to be obsolete anyway. So what we'd like to focus on is a little bit on getting the kids, you know, really engaged in their learning. If you ask anybody, what was your school life like? You're going to, you know, and if people say it was fun, what they mean is the social interaction was fun. Hanging out with their friends was fun. You're very rarely going to find someone who said, I really enjoyed the learning process. You know, it's very, very rare to find that. And that is really sad because learning shouldn't be that way. It should be exhilarating. It should leave the kids feeling empowered. It should leave them feeling very, very strongly about what they learn and how they can use it in their life. And how many kids actually feel that way? It's very few and far between. And I think that's just a waste of resources. You know, kids just doing it just to check the box and finish school and finish high school so they can get on with their life. When that is a key part of their lives that they're missing out on. And we give kids such little credit. I think they're capable of doing so much more, of understanding so much more. You know, we teach kids about investing. And when I say investing, I'm not talking day trading or stock picking. I'm talking long-term wealth building. And the time to start doing that is, you know, when you're 18. Not, and statistically, most people start investing, if ever, they start in their mid-30s to early 40s. You know, by then, they sort of settle down in their career, they have some money in their bank, and that's the time they think about investing. That's too late. It just really is too late. And which brings us back to compound interest. They don't have the time for their money to compound. We need to teach kids about this when they're growing up so that they're prepared for it, so that when on their 18th birthday, they open and they can start investing so that their money has time to compound and they don't need to do much, right? Again, I'm not talking about day trading or stock picking because that's not what we recommend for kids anyway, or for anybody for that matter, but specifically for beginner investors. And they find it fascinating. And I, you know, mostly they don't teach this. They don't teach this to kids. They don't teach, forget about investing. They don't even teach the basic money management to kids. And I'm talking about people who have, I've taught kids who are doing university level finance or they're doing business and accounting. And they assume that they know this. And that's a really dangerous thing as well. It's something that I call unconscious incompetence. They don't know that they don't know. And that's scary because just because they've done, you know, they've graduated in finance or accounting, they think they know about money and that gets them to make, they think they're making smart decisions. So are you beginning to see how dangerous this can be?
Yes.
People with absolutely, with they have no inkling, think that they know more. It's just, it's the classic Dunning-Kruger effect. So that is something that we really would like to change, get kids to learn these life skills. And when I say life skills, I'm not, it's not hyperbole. It really is a life skill. It could be a life-changing critical skill if you just know how to manage your money. And I think every grown-up can attest to that fact.
I think of a term when we talk about the system, the education system being broken. And as you explained, it's not broken for 180 years ago. Here's a term that I think might work well. Antiquated. It's antiquated.
It's obsolete. Right. It's obsolete.
I think about when I was in elementary school and high school, and, you know, it's funny, Marilyn, I was doing okay in grades 1 through 6, but when I got into the 7th and 8th grade, suddenly I had to wake up an hour earlier, maybe an hour and a half earlier, and I never really adjusted because here I am, a kid, 12, 13 years old, waking up at 6:45 in the morning to get on a bus. And
that is exactly the age. The teenage years are exactly the age when they need more sleep. They need to wake up later. It's scientifically proven that teenagers need to sleep later in the morning. Their body clock is just adjusting so much later than everybody else. So, yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
It was horrible. I mean, I remember one time, I can still picture myself in this scenario, Marilyn. I think I was in 8th or 9th grade. I remember my alarm didn't go off because I had to have a clock alarm with the pop radio station, you know, waking me up to Huey Lewis or Steve Miller Band or whatever it was, or the morning disc jockey guys had to wake me up every day. And I remember for some reason the alarm didn't go off or I slept through it. I look at the clock And I had, it was 4 minutes before the scheduled bus was to arrive. 4 minutes. Now, somehow, I got out of bed and to the bus stop on foot in 4 minutes. I can say that I didn't shower that day, so my schoolmates may or may not have noticed, but somehow I got from my bedroom to the bus stop in 4 minutes and was on that bus because it was such a pain if my mom happened to be around that day to ask her for a ride, or so embarrassing and so problematic. And I always struggled with just waking up for school. So if it's just a daily anxiety to even just get to the place that you're going. And I'm sure I wasn't the only kid who experienced that, although at the time, I don't think any of us spoke about it. I don't remember me and my friends saying, man, this stinks that we have to wake up so early and get to this place. But just feeling like the here we go again, another miserable day. And then even getting to the school, and the restrooms were god-awful at the school that I went to. So that was always an embarrassment and a weird situation. And trying to sneak into the teacher's lounge to use their restrooms, which I did whenever I could. It was truly a nightmare. And I'm talking about 6 years of my life and that I didn't really enjoy. And as you said, the social interaction of the other kids. Now, here's the flip side of that, which is what I'm getting to. As much as I didn't enjoy, middle school and high school, I do feel that it was almost like if it doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger. Like, I got through it. I survived it. Something you said in your video that you mentioned here on the interview as well about kids don't want to learn from their parents. Then I think about the kids that are going through homeschooling, which worldwide, pretty much every kid at this point has had some variation on a theme of homeschooling because of this worldwide pandemic we've all suffered through. So every parent has become somewhat of a de facto teacher, whether they wanted to or not. And every kid has become somewhat of a de facto home learner, whether they wanted to or not. Now, what you're saying in your video, which I'm assuming was filmed before the pandemic, is that kids don't want to learn from their parents. And I'm believing you. I believe that what you say is true. And then I feel so bad that all the parents and all the kids are kind of caught in this jam where you have no choice. So
you have no choice. And trust me, that's why kids are wanting to go back to school. Parents can't wait for schools to reopen because we're not cut out to be their teachers. We are, you know, it's hard enough being their mom and their dad. We don't want to be their teacher. That's a really hard job as well to do. And we're not very good at it. And this last year has been especially hard for home learners and for parents who've had to teach their kids. And for, like you said, almost everyone's been affected by this. And if you ask anybody whether they enjoyed it, I think I'll be right. Everybody would be, no, please get us back to normal. Let them, you know, I can't teach my kids. It's ruining my relationship with them.
Right.
It's a tough one.
Marilyn, I got to ask, because this is a follow-up. I know that there was I don't know what the percentage of homeschoolers were before this worldwide situation. And I'm just guessing, but I could be wrong, that because of safety concerns, or maybe people got into a groove and they just kind of got into the homeschooling system, and maybe they have a household that can afford for one parent to stay home and be with the kids, that more people will be doing the homeschooling.
Opened people's eyes. Sorry, your question is?
No, my question is, do you have any words of wisdom or any words of caution for people that might be considering the homeschooling option as a full-time thing? Do you have any concerns or words of wisdom, or both, for people that might be doing that?
I can say something because I pulled my girls out of regular school, and they actually did the homeschooling of for a year, but it was home learning or just self-learning. It's not like that there was a teacher online teaching them. And I thought it was a great experience for them. They got to manage their own timetable. They got to be a little more resilient. And, you know, and the time management was something that they really had to focus on. But after a year, they couldn't just wait to get back to school because they missed the interaction with their friends, with their teacher. And I guess, you know, being at home and just learning from having me or my husband teach them wasn't really that much fun. So they enjoyed it for a year. I think they can say themselves that they really enjoyed the experience for a year, but they missed the social interaction part of it. So even though we had different activities for them, but they really missed meeting their friends on a day-to-day basis. And especially when they're at this age, 12 and 14, I think it becomes important to have that social interaction. So we're putting them back in school come September.
Good. Marilyn, on your webpage, on the Talk to Us subtopic, or the subheading on kidsfinancialinitiative.com, you're offering a free, no commitment, 30-minute video consultation, and you will talk you through our offerings and guide you for the best program option for your teen. I guess my question is, for people that are curious about what you're talking about and are intrigued by this and want to get their own kids involved, are you offering a program that's strictly for schools, for families, no, private families, for the kids themselves? Who are you looking to do business with, and how does that work in the particulars?
So we have different sectors that we do business with. But for your listeners, for example, if they would like to enroll their kids in, we have parents directly coming to us and enrolling their kids for a program with us. This is an online program that we teach is right from the ages of 9 up to 22. Of course, there are different age groups, but this is the age range. We also work with schools to deliver the program for the students in school. We work with financial institutions who would like to sponsor. For example, in the UAE, we've recently worked with one of the biggest banks in the Middle East, Emirates NBD, who sponsored this program in 7 schools across the country. So we did this for 300 students, and it was fantastic. They got such fantastic feedback that they are going to, look into doing, in rolling out more schools come September, come the new academic year. So yeah, we work with financial institutions and schools who comes to us separately as well and want to run the program for their students. And we work with individual families. I guess that's all three sectors.
So we've got you covered, folks. If you're interested in this, whether you're a private family, individual family, or a school or a program. I remember years ago I worked for something in Providence, Rhode Island called the Federal Hill House, which was more or less a community center. And they had an after school program for kids on Saturdays that I was kind of the course manager for, which I was... I'd never done anything like that, but the program was in a jam. The course manager had bailed on the program. A friend of mine was running the thing and brought me in, and I learned on the job training, basically, about what it's like to work with. We had what we called the counselors, the college kids, that were mentoring the third graders. And I learned a lot pretty quick, Marilyn, about kids, their families. We had a kid in there that was very, I don't know what to say. He had suffered through a lot. He had suffered through some abuse, and his mom told us as much. So he was a handle because he was reaching out for help because he was experiencing this tragedy and this trauma of being abused, and he didn't know how to articulate that. And he took that out on the other kids. And of course, we, the adults in the program, knew what had happened because the mom had told us about it, but the kids didn't know. So we had to kind of walk this tough line between doing what's best for one kid while at the same time being aware that we couldn't allow him to hog up too much time from the other kids. My point is that there's just so many dynamics with children that it's hard to wrap your head around it. Being a kid is not easy. Being an adult's not easy either. But I think being a kid, the difference is, as an adult, at least in theory, you're empowered to speak up. You're empowered to leave. You're empowered to move. You're empowered to defend yourself. As a kid, correct me if I'm wrong, but as a kid, Marilyn, aren't a lot of kids at the mercy of the world or the mercy of their parents? Yes. Or the
absolutely
system?
Absolutely right.
Talk about that.
Yes. Yeah. And like I said, when the kids are in school, it's, they only get like a 20-minute break every 3 or 4 hours. I mean, even even prison inmates get more time outside than that. And I think just the education system is really based on such a structure of fear and coercion, which can't be very healthy for the kids as well. And then we want them to grow up to be, to be independent, to be opinionated, to be able to talk for themselves and stand up for themselves and to stand out, because that's what you need to. And yet we are teaching them exactly the opposite in school. We're teaching them to fit in. We're teaching them to not question authority. We're teaching them to be quiet. That isn't how you want them to be when they grow up. And I don't see the logic in that. I don't see the logic in getting them to behave in different ways when they are children than what is going to pay off for them when they grow up. And that's why, as part of our class, we have question training where we train kids to ask questions, because kids are very good at giving answers. I mean, that's what our education system teaches them. It teaches them to give answers. But how many hours of training have your kids got have any of us got, where we were trained how to ask questions, right? And this is so important, because asking questions is an extremely intelligent way to learn. It'll get you out of trouble. It'll help you see through scams. It'll just give you a deeper knowledge about any topic if you're willing and able to think through and ask questions. So that really is part of, even though we say it's a money management program, we actually take time out to get the kids to think about how do you ask questions with regard to this. And it's an activity that they begin to enjoy, because they're like, wow, I've never been. And we give them, and the homework, for example, is go back and ask your parents these questions. This is what you need to find out. And for many of them, it's the first time they're actually having a conversation with their parents about money other than give me some. They're actually asking about what financial setbacks you had. How did it make you feel? How old were you when that happened to you? How did you get out of it? What made you think? So all of these questions, which they are now asking because they are trained to ask questions. And I can tell you, it's really empowering for them.
That's great. And you're right. And it seems like when I say we, I just mean society in general, no one specific, but we don't teach kids stuff, don't speak to them intelligently. Yeah. And then we're shocked and disappointed when they fail to live up to our expectations. Like they were supposed to pick up, compound interest at the playground or the street corner. Like all the kids between the Miley Cyrus, concert reviews are discussing compound interest or something like that. It's just ridiculous. And parents need to just learn that something like this organization you're providing is a great thing. And I hope that people that are listening, they do the follow-up. Because a lot of times, I'm telling you, Marilyn, people listen to a conversation like this, their ears perk up during the course of the conversation, and then they move on to something else, and they don't do the follow-up. So I'm going to urge people that even while you're listening to our conversation, don't be afraid to open up another window on your computer and go to kidsfinanceinitiative.com and actually take the next step and write Marilyn and her team a message and get in contact and see how this thing can help, right?
Yes, absolutely. We'd be glad to see that, have the discovery call and see if any program is specifically suited for the child.
There's a lot of video testimonies on your website from the actual kids that have benefited from this program. And that was very pleasing to see, because you can see that these kids are empowered. And once again, another word, but it seems like we don't want our kids to be empowered, because there's some type of patriarchal system, if that's the word for it, that wants our kids to be like pets, like they sit in the
just
corner and shut
rules.
Up and
exactly.
do your
just
home.
Follow the rules. Yeah. No, absolutely
when,
right.
When you were growing up, Marilyn.
And that's such a big change. Sorry, yes?
Oh, I was just, you go ahead and then I'll follow up the question. Go ahead.
No, I was saying there's such a big change with the students when they come for the program, and by the time they're done with the program, I can actually see the change happening over the course of the week or the 2 weeks, depending on what program they're attending. But it's just amazing to see, because when you see because doing the program, they feel more competent about handling money. And then this makes them more confident. You see, a lot of people say, oh, we need to build up their self-confidence. I don't think you can just build up somebody's self-confidence just out of the blue. It needs to be contextual. So here what we do is we build up their competence. They feel more competent. They gain mastery in a skill. And that is what gives them self-confidence. And when competence and confidence comes together, it truly is a wonderful thing to see in a child. It is absolutely amazing. And that it just reminds me of why I do what I do and why I do it every day, because seeing this change in kids, seeing this transformation happen, when they just feel like, oh my goodness, okay, I get it. I get it. I can do this. You know, it just is really wonderful to see.
Marilyn, when you were growing up, I guess what I'm asking is, as a kid yourself, was this part of your life, financial interests, learning about finances? Was this part of your own personal teens or childhood, or did this occur to you later on in life?
Oh, Mike, I so wish that I had learned this, or this was my interest when I was 15 or 16. It is painful to think how different my life could have been then, as a result of this. But no, it didn't even strike me. I mean, I did my post-graduation. I did an MBA program. But it taught me zero about how to handle personal wealth. It taught you how to handle company wealth and company money. But it doesn't teach you anything about handling your own money. And no, to answer your question, this wasn't part of, wasn't part of me growing, my interest growing up. And I didn't learn anything about it then. Which is what I'm saying. I learned about it so late. I only learned about it because I was worried for my kids, and I'm thinking, oh my God, are they going to make the same mistakes that I did? And you know, has the education system changed? Are they going to learn to do better? But it hasn't changed. They're not learning to do better. They're learning the same obsolete things that we learned when we were their age, right? And that's what got me started on this. Like I said, I was also an outsider. I'm not an academic. I thought the academics were, they knew what they were doing and it was best for every kid, but they don't always know what's best for every kid. And sometimes it takes an outsider to really cause a disruption in an industry, because you see, I didn't know what rules to break. So I just went and broke all of them because I didn't know which ones I was not supposed to break. And I think I brought an outsider way of thinking to this. And that's why it's different. That's why it's very different from, I mean, the kids who come for our program, they're like, this is unlike any other learning experience we've ever had, because we treat them like grown-ups. We really make them feel empowered. It's not like we empower them. It's not within our, I want every kid to feel empowered from within. And that's what we do in the program. But I so wish this was taught to me when I was 15. I really strongly wish that could have happened, but it didn't. And I'm that's why I'm on this mission, to make sure that other kids actually don't have to feel this way. They don't have to grow up saying, oh my goodness, I wish I had learned this when I was your age. Now, if they do make money mistakes, it's on their own dime. I mean, they were taught this, and then they still did it knowing what could happen. All of us have the excuse that, my parents didn't teach me, we didn't learn this in school. I want to take this away from these kids. I don't want them to have to fall back on that age-old excuse saying, well, nobody taught us this. We need to take away that crutch, because they don't need it. They just teaching this to kids can make a huge, huge difference in their life. It gives them a sense of confidence. It gives them the competence as well. And it makes them feel so much more in control. And I think that is that's a really good feeling, because kids don't really feel that. They don't feel in control. They're just being buffeted around by their parents or by whatever society says they need to do. One side, the first half of their day it's in school, and the rest of the day it's by what their parents. They don't feel a sense of control at all. This really gives them that, because they understand that I don't have to be buffeted around by the economy or by the unemployment rate. There is a lot within my control that I can do. And it works wonders for them. It really does.
It's got to be a scary world for kids these days. It was a scary, when I was a kid, there was always an occasional military conflict. But luckily, I didn't happen to be of draft, age when any of that stuff was happening. But, for kids now, it's like they're afraid to go to the grocery store because they might get a fatal disease. And I mean, just walking around, and I feel so bad for kids, you know, in 2020, the kids didn't have a proper graduation ceremony for high school or college, and a bunch of celebrities, you know, whoever it was, Justin Timberlake and so forth, they did a nice thing where they got together and they did like a 3-hour video thing. It was supposed to be like a video specifically for college or high school or even middle school kids graduating, but yeah. It's not the same. And I guess I'm concerned about the future, because to me, the world has survived, or is in the process of trying to survive, a traumatic stress syndrome situation. And on top of that, compounding that, so to speak, is financial concerns. I mean, kids are going, even here, I mean, you go to restaurants and some are open, but some are permanently closed. When I was in Rhode Island in April of this year, which is a state in the Northeast USA where I used to live, the movie theaters are closed permanently. And I'm just so sad about that, because the kids that are growing up, whether it's in the United Arab Emirates or the United States of America and all points in between, they're looking at a world that has drastically changed pretty quickly. And they are wondering, hey, how am I going to survive in this thing? Is there some anxiety for the kids these days, Marilyn?
There definitely is anxiety. And I think we've seen a huge surge in just anxiety, issues with kids. I've seen that myself. But I'm optimistic, because kids are resilient. They can get over it. They can. They forget about stuff very easily, as we just need to step in. So it's not irreversible. I don't think the damage is irreversible. I think they're very, very resilient, and they'll bounce back quickly. So yes, I'm really optimistic.
How are your own kids doing? I know you're a mom of a couple of daughters. How do they feel about their mom, you know, taking on all this stuff? Are they behind it? How are they with you about your company and about what you're doing?
My older daughter is pretty much, she knows a lot about what's going on. In fact, she helps me quite a bit just in, you know, coming up with the names of the programs, and she's quite creative, and I talk to both of them a lot. My younger daughter, she's like, is this going to take away from your time with us now? You're going to be super busy again, because my husband and I run an advertising agency. This isn't my full-time job. We run an advertising agency, and this started off, you know, kind of just because I wanted to teach them, and it started off as a side project, but now it's taking up all my time. But they understand. I think I like the fact that they know that I am very committed to what I do. But more than that, that I really enjoy doing what I'm doing. I mean, even on holiday when I'm working, I love it. I love doing what I do. I take classes even though I'm on holiday, and they understand that. And I think that's a good lesson for kids to learn, that they don't always have to think that, you know, gosh, my mom hates her job and she's depressed and she's, you know, upset about it. But they really feel that I love my job. I love what I do. It fills me up. It fulfills me. And I want that for them. I keep telling them, I'm like, you know, I'm going to be very disappointed if you girls grow up just to make loads of money and not making any impact. I want you all to be, it's not just successful. I want you all to have significance. I want you all to do something significant. I don't, you know, it's not about the money or the success. So I think I am hopefully drumming the right idea in them. That's what I try to do.
How many, I know it might be, it's probably a ballpark figure, I'm sure, the answer that I'm about to ask you, but how many kids, teenagers, young adults, overall students do you feel have come through your program? What would be your guess?
Yeah, so it's about just over 3,500 students.
Wow, that's great. And that's 3,500 lives that have been affected for the better, positively.
Actually, you multiply that by four, because it's not just them, it's their families, right? When you are smart about money, it just doesn't affect you. It affects your future. It affects your present family. It affects your future family. it affects society. So I think the multiplier effect really works here. It would be unfair to say just 3,500 lives. It's so much more than that. I think there's a multiplication factor of at least 4 to 5 here. And that's how I like to think about it.
Well, and guess what? Not just those lives, but also the lives of their kids.
Yes.
Well, Marilyn, I think this has been a great conversation. I'm really pulling for you and Kids Finance Initiative. Is there anything that you'd like to say, any topic or any further thoughts on anything we've already covered that I haven't asked? Go right ahead and take that on as you see it.
Yeah, I would like to say something to your listeners, if any of them are parents. It doesn't matter whether you come to me or go to someone to get your kids this training, but do it. Do something, whether it's reading a book, whether it is, this is not a skill that people are born with. It's a trainable skill. It's very, very easy to teach. It's super fun to learn. And you get to see the results almost immediately. This isn't a program that you're going to wait to see, I'll see what happens in 5 years and see, sort of see the results in 5 years. You actually get to see results pretty instantaneously. There is nothing that will give you a return on investment quite like this. So I really would encourage you all, irrespective whether you come to do it with us or do it with somebody, please make sure you do it, because your kids are going to thank you, just like all of us wish we could thank our parents had they enrolled us for a program many, many decades ago. So please go ahead and do this. I can guarantee that you're never going to regret this decision.
I would agree with that. So Marilyn Lydia Pinto, Kids Finance Initiative, so awesome that you've joined me, Mike Messier. My website is mikemessier.com. I'm a filmmaker, I'm a screenwriter, I'm an actor. Subscribe to Mike Messier YouTube channel is my YouTube channel, which has got a lot of my own original films, Messier Mantra TV show, my pro wrestling rants, and more fun and hijinks. But Marilyn, I just think it's great. You're also on social media. Do you want to tell everyone how they can find you, not just on the website, but if they prefer Instagram and stuff like that, where can they find you on social media?
They get to our website, we have all of our social media handles on there. They just have to click on whichever social media platform they are currently using, and it's all on the website, all on our Kids Finance Initiative website. Our social media handle for Instagram is kids_finance_initiative. If you just type it into Google, it'll give you whatever. We're pretty high up on the SEO here. So, or if you can go to our website, we have all the social media handles there. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. You can connect with me personally on LinkedIn as well. Marilyn Lydia Pinto is my name. So, I'd be happy to connect with any of your listeners and help in any way I can.
I really appreciate your time. I appreciate what you're doing with kidsfinanceinitiative.com. Marilyn, you have a great day. Keep doing what you're doing. And I want to thank my buddy Will Summer and the Doomer Bloomer podcast for getting us together and sharing this message of empowerment for the kids. I think it's great.
Thank you so much, Mike. I'm really so happy I was on this. Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Marilyn. Have a great day. Thanks for listening, everybody.
You too.
Will here with the Doomer Bloomer podcast. If you enjoy this content this week with Mary Lynn Pinto, please check out her website, kidsfinanceinitiative.global or KFI Global. Check out their story and the resources page. Lots of good information there. I will make a link in the description on how to get there. Once again, thanks to Mike Messier of Mike Messier. Subscribe to Mike Messier YouTube channel for guest hosting. Gave me some time to reflect and see what sort of direction this podcast is heading in. If you want to be part of the community, please subscribe, follow, like on your favorite platform, join our Discord group, become a Patreon subscriber. There's three different levels: basic, Alexa, and coaching. I am working on... She doesn't know that one. Working on a coaching program right now, the Doomer to Bloomer pathway, and have some great guests lined up for the fall. Let me know what you want to learn more about by messaging at Doomer Podcast on Twitter and following on Instagram and Facebook at Doomer Bloomers. Trying to get to 10K subscribers on the YouTube channel. So if you haven't subscribed already, please hit that like and subscribe button. Wherever you are in the world, have yourself a great and prosperous day. Cheers from Will S.